The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
So, what do you think about the reapportionment of the representatives here in California? Have you seen that?
Well, I have. But first, let's start off with good morning, everybody. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. We're here with Nick Gardner and Doug Janke. And
Where are we again? I forget.
Oh, that's right. Hold on. KCNR1460.com, I think.
What's the com for?
Communism.
There you go. That's what we're turning into.
We're there.
96.5 FM, that's feminine. And what is it?
1460 androgynous male.
There we go. We're on them.
We're on it. So we're here. The reapportionment. The funny thing is the Democrats, you got to give them credit. Texas has decided with Greg Abbott that they're going to redistrict to be more representative. Because it's funny is when you look at the election, Texas is supposed to be this dead red, bleeds pure red except for Austin, which is a liberal hellhole. And yet the elections are like really tight for the conservatives versus the liberals. So apparently they're doing something down there. And now Newsom and the boys up here have decided they're going to try to change and stack the deck, which is already, for the record, completely stacked. I mean, we're already in a one party state that's absolute a disaster, and that's not enough for them. They want to go and make it worse. And on the federal level, I think I read that it's like there's 40 Democrat representatives and like 9 Republican. So they need to tilt it in their favor. And I'm a 100% against it, just to be honest with you. And then I was reading today that apparently it's not legal. That doesn't matter to liberals, but it's not legal what they're trying to do, because there was already a law signed that said that the districts have to be done during census years by the air quotes nonpartisan whatever.
Yeah, we've got a commission to do that, and Gavin, he decided just to do it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think that Gavin is taking some pages out of Trump's playbook, where if you can't get it the right way, you just do it through an executive order. And so I think Gavin is trying that here. I hope he fails. I think the difference is here. They're trying to do it slimy backdoor by going to the people and asking the people, and then there'll be slick lawyers and AI who will write it up to make it seem like this is some beneficial thing. It'll be 100% a lie. So, don't change the districts.
Generally, they do it with the census. And
yes.
That's every 10 years.
Yep.
And you remember here in Shasta County last time they realigned the districts and made it advantageous to Modi and the people that I think hang on the left it was just a mess. Trump's proposed that we do a new census. We can every 5 years if we want to. And not count illegal aliens that are not citizens. And if we did that, things would change drastically.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a reason the Democrats want to have the illegal aliens. It gives them blue base. But if we took them out, America has always been a center-right country. Going back from the beginning of time, it's been center-right. Just kind of people go along, but they're more conservative fiscally, this and that, believe in marriage, all that stuff.
But
it's only in the last 20 years with Obama forward that we have actually fallen off this cliff. And you could actually even go back further to George H.W. the first. He's the first one that actually introduced the New World Order. It was George H.W.
Yes, I remember that. Totalitarian, they called it.
Yeah. And so he's actually the one that started this. So let's not let the Republicans off scot-free. But the last 20 years have completely thrown what is a center-right country into a communist liberal left hellhole. And the fact of the matter is, by counting the immigrants, they get to build those numbers up. Nick, that's my point. That's my opinion.
Well, that and cheating in the elections helped a lot, too.
Cheating. Nick, there you go. Conspiracy theorist Nick.
That's me. And we're always right.
You were always right. It's funny how almost every conspiracy theory is proven later on to be completely right.
Yes.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yes.
So you started off the show rudely. People were getting a cup of coffee, coming from a bathroom break by asking about reapportionment of the districts. I'm against it. I just want it on record. So there.
Well, I think everybody is except the libs. You know, if we're going to do a census and count the illegals, why aren't we counting tourists?
No, good point there. Well, they're here on basically the same grounds.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
All you tourists, float on into San Francisco and even it out.
You know what, Nick? I'm going to tell you where they should take the census. This is where they should take the census. For folks who've never been there, or if you have been there, I'm going to tell you right now, you've got to go to Mount Rushmore. Now, listen to this, Nick. This is 100% dead serious. Don't go during the day. The day, it's nice, it's cool, you look up, there they are. You've got to be there at the last hour before it closes. You have to get there the last hour before it closes. Don't go during the day. It's crowded. It's terrible. Get there the last hour. Right as the light is going down, so it's getting darker, in our case, a ranger came out and did like this 10-minute monologue over Lincoln and what he was and who he was and this that. So it was really cool. But then they do a 45-minute video of the presidents, and it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker and darker, and 10 minutes on each president. And for the record, I don't know if you knew this, Nick, but every single one that's up there was a Republican, not a single liberal up there, thank God. However, the last couple minutes of this video, it's now pitch black. Basically, you've got this screen down at the stage, and it's black. And they start singing America the Beautiful. So they sing, the song's going, and everybody's singing along. They ask you to sing along. And then they get to the last song. And just as the song starts, bam, the lights come on. And there's the monument lit up, and we're singing the national anthem. There's probably, when we were there, 250, 300 people, foreigners, people who couldn't speak English. I was looking around. They were all singing our national anthem.
They need some protesters there.
Well, I'm just saying, I've not been very proud of our country since Obama, maybe even Bush for some of the stuff that happened there, as a rule. But I'll tell you what, when I saw the lights come on and everybody was singing the national anthem, the sense of pride, that's America. That's who we are. And America is not a country. I mean, I had this discussion because I was on the road 20 days with my in-laws. I had this discussion with my brother-in-law who's Dutch, and he's as liberal gets, and there were some tough conversations because he's a moron. He's very smart, but his stances are defy logic. But him and I got talking about what is America, and I said, America is an ideal. It's a set of principles for the individual to live together, and that's why people want to come here, is that individual freedom. And that moment when those lights came on and I looked around and people from every nationality were singing along with our national anthem, do you think that would happen in Venezuela or France? But they were singing our national anthem, and I'm telling you, the sense of pride I got was for who we are as a people was pretty amazing. So I think they should take the census there. Just have somebody stand outside and ask everybody to be the census right then and there. Because I think it would go 100% red, to be honest with you.
100%. Yeah, well, that sounds good. You know,
I left you speechless.
I was just thinking, thank God they stopped that giant lump of coal that they were taking up to Mount Rushmore last year, Obama's presidency. When it got dark, all you'd see is a couple of eyes up there.
I will tell you, we went to the Crazy Horse Monument, and you want to talk about crazy.
Is that right?
Oh, you want to talk about crazy. This is crazy. A Polish guy, a Polish-American guy, became friends with the Indian population of the area, and he wanted to do something honorable for the Indian heritage. And so he, along with, I think it was like 8 or 9 tribes, came up with this idea to do a Mount Rushmore type, monument dedicated to Crazy Horse. And the funny thing is, there's no pictures of Crazy Horse. There's no drawings of Crazy Horse. What he's done is a composite based on verbal recollections of old folks. But he started 70 years ago as a single man, just starting to chip away at this rock. And it is bigger. It is bigger than Mount Rushmore.
No kidding.
And the arm alone sticks out 150 feet in granite. And he did this thing as a passion thing, self-funded. He refused government money because he did not want the government to be involved in this process. And it's taken 70 years, and it's probably got another 15 or 20 based on the presentation that they gave. But I'll tell you, Crazy Horse was crazy because there's this mountain that's going to be in the shape of a horse with a 150-foot arm sticking out front. And when you talk about additional monuments, Crazy Horse is one that is interesting to go by and look at it because it started out as a one-man guy going up there, and he tells the story. There was 2,500 steps up, and he would go up the steps every day carrying the equipment up the hill so he could chip away at the granite.
Oh, man, that's dedication.
Wow. So getting back to Mount Rushmore, I would recommend if you ever have a chance, folks, it is worth it at night. During the day, it's cool, but you're going to be irritated because it's just full.
You know, one thing that really, really brought the pride in me out of our country is my wife and I went to the Red Bluff Roundup, and they did a flyover. And for some reason, that just really made me proud of my country. You got these jets flying over.
Yeah.
Couple hundred yards up, and it's just, whoa, you know? That's what we can do.
That's what we can do. Well, did you see that at the recent Putin-Trump summit? They flew a B-2 bomber right over old Vladdy as he was walking towards the podium.
You know, I just...
I don't know if they did that for pride or they did that to say, hey, we got those.
Yeah, escorted by 2 F-35s.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine what the heck Vladimir is thinking. He goes over there and has a talk, then he comes back and bombs Ukraine.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting down and thinking, well, let's see what Zelensky has to say.
Well, you know, Nick, you and I, when this thing started, within the first week, we talked about it, and then we had Tony, my good friend, come on, who is Russian, and she was guilt-ridden and this and that. And I said back then, I think history will prove that the war, if you can justify a war, the war was justified for Russia to go into Ukraine. When you consider we had 43 bioweapons labs right on the border, those were taken out immediately. And the American Defense Department has admitted we had them there and they are no longer there. We still have 13 CIA.
We were involved in them.
Well, no, we're the reason the whole war is going in the first place. If it wasn't for Obama's overthrow of the elected government in 2014. Look it up, folks. Don't trust me. Ukraine would be a stable country. It was pro-Russia. They had a great relationship. No real tensions. Then we, the Americans, overthrew the government, and the West-leaning government immediately unleashed the hounds of hell, the Azov Battalion, over to go and start killing the Eastern Russian-speaking Ukrainians, and even by the UN, who's not exactly a right-wing, pro-conservative thing, their estimates are that up to 15,000 Eastern Ukrainian Russian-speaking people were killed by the Western Ukrainians. It was basically a full-on kind of civil war.
Sure.
And the Eastern Ukrainian, the Russian-speaking, were asking Russia to intervene. And the funny story is there's a time during Trump's first presidency where him and Vladimir are together, and Vladimir kind of pulls back a little bit. And it turns out that Russia, or Trump said to Vladimir, if you go into Ukraine, I'll bomb Moscow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a true story. Yeah, so that's why Vladimir didn't do it during Trump's term. He waited till Joey got in there.
Well, you know what? Reagan did something like that, too. Whatever was going on with Reagan, he met with, I think it was Khrushchev up in Toronto and told him that if this doesn't get straightened out, I'm going to drop a nuke on Moscow. And things straightened out. Maybe that's the same old story. I wonder if we're even being fed the truth. But I was reading a little bit about it. And you know, Russia has lost a million men.
Yep.
My God. Can you
And Ukraine is rumored, if you look at the – I look at stuff that's not American. So our press is just ridiculous. And we can talk about some of the things that
– Except for Dave Benda.
He's the top. Is if you look at some of the European accounts that I look at and read some of their European stuff, they suggest that Ukraine has lost like 600,000 men as well.
And that's a small country compared to Russia.
But still, that's an immense amount of people in just a couple of years.
Oh, gosh. You know, the Vietnam War, we lost 55,000, and I know three or four guys that were killed over there.
Yeah.
So,
and that was over 10 years, not in 2 years.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody in Russia and Ukraine is affected by this. I mean, look at Christina, who was a producer here. She lost her father over there, and her mom's run out of town. She's over where now?
Ukraine. She's over in Rotterdam in Holland.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she had a brother. I forget what happened to him. But,
No, it's a horrible war. And unfortunately, these guys, the Russians, have a history, an absolute history of, as Americans or the West, we consider the soldier to be kind of like the most important thing. It took months to train, millions of dollars of training to get these guys up to stuff. So the reality is we treat the soldiers as the important cog and equipment as kind of like secondary. The Russians, on the other hand, the soldier is just a piece of meat to be sacrificed. And the equipment is there. And so the Russians, their history is they just send people in waves into bloodbaths, and that's what you're seeing there, and that's why they're losing so many people. But Vladimir is losing. I mean, because Tony stays in touch with people who are in Russia, and he is starting to lose some support for the war. I got to say that.
Well, one would think so.
Well, I mean, the support, whether it was legit or not, but you know, when it first broke out, the Russians were like 90% in support of the military action because they had family in Ukraine that were literally being murdered by the Azov battalion, the Nazi battalion. And Vladimir, from the day one till today, has said the same thing. Denazify Ukraine, get rid of the Nazis, which is the Azov battalion. No NATO membership. And stop killing the people in Donbas. And Zelensky refuses all three.
Yes, and NATO's got a bit of blame to go along with
it. A lot of blame.
Yeah.
Did you see that Ukraine attacked Poland and did an attack on a NATO country?
No.
Yeah.
When was that?
That last week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have been a miscommunication between the two, but yeah, there you go. That's the problem, is these things spiral out of control and they have unintended consequences.
Boy, I'll tell you what's out of control is, I don't think he's out of control. I think he's in control is our President Bush. Or
Bush.
Trump, the best president we ever had, and his deportations. He's telling that Garcia guy that either, what's he telling him? He fesses up and goes back to El Salvador. They're going to send him to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty funny. Rwanda agreed to take 250.
Well, because we're going to be paying for their incarceration. So it's basically a.
Oh, I was hoping they just dropped him off at the airport.
Probably not a good idea. Those guys would probably find a way back here, is my guess.
I don't think they'd survive.
Well, you know, I don't know.
That's pretty brutal countries over there. I'm reading a book now, Out of America, that was written in, I think, 1995, and it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a reason
atrocities that go on over there in their wars.
Well, there's a reason that Africa is still in a third world crap hole. They still live in the tribal stage where the Hutus and the Tutus and all this stuff. It's not safe over there. And I mean, South Africa used to be like the diamond of the South over there, and it's turned into a third world crap hole as well because they all live on the tribal thing, and they have no problem taking machetes to each other.
That's right.
So put those guys down there and see if they survived. See how good their MS-13 tactics worked out there.
Well, it was relatively safe until apartheid got knocked in the head.
Yeah.
And they ran all the whites off and took their properties. Now they can't even feed themselves.
Nope.
Killer. Yeah, it's a mess down there. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if they threatened to send me down there, I'd sign anything they want to sign. No, I'm happy right here. Send me to Mexico.
Well, you know what's funny is you say Trump's the best president, and I differ on that a little bit.
Who was the best?
Well, I think Ronnie in our lifetimes was probably the best. His first term. His second term, I think the dementia was starting to get to him. But the first term, he brought back pride. He brought back respect in the world to us. But, like, this whole thing that I think that Trump's doing that he's getting a lot of credit for, I look at it at both sides. I see the point. But he's gone into D.C., and he's going to clean up a liberal crap hole. They voted for these people. They voted for that mayor. They voted for soft on crime. They voted for defund the police. And Trump has gone in there, and I was hearing today that they haven't had a murder in 12 days as of this show. It might be 16 or so by the time the show airs. But they haven't had a murder. And so they're giving them all kinds of credit that this is something that's great. Well, three things. First off, you can't keep the military deployed forever. Two, he's cleaning up a self-imposed liberal crap hole. And three, they're still going to vote liberal. I personally would have invited the homeless in. I would have invited the immigrants in. It's kind of like an intervention. You know, you can keep a drug person clean if you keep them locked in a room and you control what goes in and out. You can keep them clean. The minute you let them into public, they're going to go find their old friends. Unless they want it themselves. And these people have voted to be murdered and raped and killed and everything else. They keep voting in the same politicians who've lied to them. I mean, D.C.'s so stupid. They not only elected a total corrupt guy, what was it, Richard something, then he got busted on cocaine and prostitution charges, and they Marion Barry. They reelected him. I mean, that's who Trump has gone in and saved, is those people. And I get it. This will spread. And now he's talking about Baltimore, and he's talking about Chicago.
Chicago's begging him to come.
Well,
bring him here. We need some help.
Well, they're begging him. But the problem is he's going in, and, of course, the press is saying he's coming in. He's authoritarian and this and that. But he's saving them from themselves. And he's got to let them face their consequences so that they're asking him. They're saying, hey, get in here. And he did D.C. a favor, but as soon as the National Guards gets undeployed, because you can't keep those guys there forever. We are not designed as a constitutional republic to have our military inside our borders. That place is going to revert right back to where it was, because the people are the people, and it is a liberal crap hole, and they will vote for liberal politicians again. I may be wrong in the future. They may decide to vote hard on crime, lock them up, put them away.
Maybe we could make an alternative custody program back there for them, and they'll all be rehabbed by the time Trump gets done.
I don't know. I watch what he's doing, and I get kind of the gist, but I just think it's kind of disingenuous.
It already has collapsed on him.
Well, hold on, but here's what's disingenuous, is everything was fine until a Doge guy got his head kicked in. Now, kudos to the Doge guy, the guy who was working for the government.
I agree with you there, yeah.
He was
Trump doesn't like his buddies beat up. That's the moral of the story.
Well, and the funny thing is, he doesn't even like Doge, because everything that Elon was telling him to do, he isn't doing. He's doing the exact opposite. He's spending more money.
I got rid of USAID.
Well, kind of. I'm not sure it's fully dead yet. But until the guy got his head kicked in, there was no problem. There was no problem. And all of a sudden, one guy gets his head kicked in. Chivalrous, he's protecting. Listen up, people who believe there's no sexes. It was a man protecting his woman, and he got his head kicked in protecting his woman. Boom. End of story. There's your genders. But until that happened, Trump didn't give a rat's ass about D.C.'s crime. And all of a sudden, it became priority number one. I find that disingenuous, in my opinion. I mean,
well, I listened to the street interviews of functional DCs there, and one guy, he said, you know, for the first time in 4 years, I can take my wife and kids to a restaurant.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and
you know, that's way out of control. We're out of control here in Reading. I wish he'd come here to Reading and clean this mess up.
I wish we would elect politicians that would do their job, which is protect the citizenry and then stay out of our bedrooms, stay out of our kids. That's what I would prefer. instead of having the president have to authorize military force inside our borders, but I get it. Drastic times call for drastic measures, and I look at this on both sides of the coin. He's cleaned up something.
We did try locally something drastic. We gave all of our city employees a 20 to 70% raise so they'd try harder, and it doesn't seem to be working.
Does not. I'm sure we'll hit on that in the second hour, second half of the show, because it's, yeah.
It is what it is. Boy, I got a lot of compliments on our show.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. Heck, yes. People just loved it. In fact, it was so popular, it ran on one of the shows this last Sunday.
Well, and I got to tell you, I mean, we're a minute from the break or so. You and I have beat up on Tanessa pretty hard from going back when she ran, and then they did what they did to Mazzano. You and I have not been friends of hers, per se, publicly. But I will say, my opinion has changed a little bit. I think that she is,
well, you know,
from what I know on that show, I was very impressed with somebody who is trying to get to the bottom of something, to be honest. That's what I got out of it.
I agree with you. My buddy Thomas Hildebrand told me, he said, you know, they wanted to give that guy at United Way all these little houses that would cost us $40,000 a piece, and Tanessa says, no, we can beat that price, and she voted against it.
Yeah.
And the others voted it in, and he said, she's the only one that got it. She's smarter than all of them up there. And I think after this plays out, we're going to find out that's true. We're going to go to a break. We're about 35 seconds early, but we can go to a break right now. And we'll get back to that, what's going on with the city.
And I got some stuff on the world you might want to hear about.
Is that so?
Oh, crazy stuff.
Okay.
We'll talk to you after the break.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Kick the season off right and join us Mondays through December 29th for our Monday Night Football in Overtime, where you can enjoy delicious stadium snacks and buckets of beer while you watch your favorite football team on the big screen. Check-in start at 4 p.m. Don't forget to play your favorite slot machine to earn a t-shirt and a shot glass. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
That Friday feeling is more than just a day of the week. It's the sight of a full plate and the promise of more to come. It's Black Bear Diner's all-you-can-eat Friday fish fry. Get your fill of crispy, hand-breaded pollock fillets with fries, our famous hush puppies, and house-made coleslaw. Starts at 4 p.m. every Friday at Black Bear Diner. Come hungry, bring the family, and enjoy a tradition you can count on.
Black Bear Diner.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
I've got a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. I ran across a Joe Rogan experience, one of his podcasts. It's number 2369 with Ed Qualdron. And I'll tell you what, it's 3 hours long, and I'm not quite done with it yet. I'm listening to it in 20 and 30-minute segments. But if you want to know about the cartels in Mexico, go to that, number 2369, and fish around about 1 hour to where they start with the cartels, and you're just going to be amazed. They make their own tanks. They get they get they steal pickups and they make a tank out of them and they have tank wars. And it kind of looks like bumper cars at the fairs, only they're shooting 50 caliber guns out of them at each other, 10 and 12 feet away. Oh, it's just comical. And one thing they brought to our attention was the war in Afghanistan, how many Al-Qaeda was there, and they figured there was 45 to 65,000 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan during the height of it. And if we were going to go down there and fight with the terrorists, the cartels, Trump's declared them terrorists, there's 400,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be an easy venture. You're not just going to drop SEAL Team 9 in there and wipe out this cartel and away you go, because the government's in on it, the police is in on it, the politicians are in on it, and it's just eye-opening. And if you get a – oh, and the bulk of their weapons come from the United States,
mm-hmm.
although they have seen some of the gear that we left in Afghanistan there.
Weird. Totally weird.
Oh, gosh. And then I wanted to bring to your attention that you should talk to a computer expert, because I believe it's October 10th. The computers you're going to have to replace your computer probably, because Windows 11 is coming out and Windows 10 won't be good anymore. And I had a problem with my computer, and Debbie over at Businessware told me, she said, well, you just will go buy a new one because this one's not going to work after October 10th.
Isn't that great that, you know, what if Ford made a car that worked for a couple of years and then, let's say, the radio stopped working and they forced you to buy a new car? You gotta give old Billy Boy and his communist liberal evilness credit that they make obsolete equipment from the minute they sell it to you.
Yeah! Oh, yes! I mean, so everybody's gonna have to get a new computer. I think there's some way you can store your stuff, your old stuff, if you're really sophisticated and CPA or something like that. You can keep it, but just for that, to go on the internet and other stuff, you've got to have a new computer.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh gosh, I went down and bought a laptop at Costco and they set it up for me and I'm having a heck of a time with it.
Well,
I'm doing okay, but geez, it's so touchy. You just barely touch and you're off someplace else.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not a fan of tech for a lot of reasons, because you'll get to a program that works. You've got it. It does every single thing you need. There's nothing you need. But the tech people will add for the next session 47 buttons that you can push that just made the what you learned become infinitely more difficult to operate. And I would argue 95% of us could probably go back to like Windows 6 and do what we email, look up stuff, you know, whatever, and we would be fine.
That's right.
But
absolutely.
These tech people keep adding buttons because they have to justify their existence. And I think that they should just leave the basic alone. Just leave it alone. It works. We are used to it. And then for the people who really want to step up, you know, my wife's brother being one of those guys, then let them pay the extra to step up, because here we go. If what you're saying is true, and I'll do some research with you so on our next show we can talk about it. My computer works fine. Why would I need to buy another one if it's working fine? But if you're saying it's not going to work with what 11 is, then, yeah, I'm going to have to go buy another stinking computer.
Well, I'd get on it. October's going to be here before you know it. Really?
I believe you. I'm with you. Now, fortunately, my wife has mentioned before all of this that we need a new computer. We got ours at the beginning of COVID, so it's 6 years old almost. So it's about time.
Oh, mine was only about 15 years old.
Oh, well, considering you're 200 years old, that's actually pretty young.
Well, actually, I've got a good toolkit with half-inch drive sockets, and I managed to keep it going myself. 5-pound sledgehammer and a chisel.
That's it. That's all you need.
We can make it work.
You know, a crescent wrench and duct tape, a mechanic's best friend.
You know, I went to Patrick Jones's presentation, his town hall down in Anderson about a month ago, and I met a gal named Gail down there, and I gave her my phone number, and I hadn't heard. Gail, why don't you call the station here and leave me your number, and I'd like to chat with you sometime.
Speaking of Mr. Jones, I watched the Shasta Anon between Jones and Bridget. Wow. talk about a George Soros-funded worthless DA, and I'm saying that publicly on the radio. That stuff that Shasta and Non brought out and is in my opinion, criminal. And I hope that they figure out what's going on because her caseload during the election, they didn't file over 800 felonies against people. They had to drop a lot of those cases the next year when it was out of the election. And the Shasta Anon video, folks, if you haven't seen it, Shasta Anon, Patrick Jones versus Stephanie Bridget.
You can go to YouTube and type in Shasta Anon and a lot of their videos.
That one is pretty damning because, again, Shasta Anon has been so far – their sourcing seems to have been flawless. Nobody's sued them or tried to come after them,
and they're eye opening.
That one was, I mean, the other ones, you know, Patrick Long, or the Long and those guys is just like, it's corrupt politicians. This one about Bridget though is true malfeasance. I mean, true, breaking the law that if you and I did what she did, she would probably be prosecuting us. So there you go, folks. Go look it up. Now, Nick, you had some clips you wanted to play?
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe we won't even get to them. I'll tell you something that's really bothering me is the Peak subdivision.
Which one's that?
The Peaks. It's up here off of up above Lake Redding Park. Quartz Hill Road.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Listen to this. The city plans to break ground on the Peak subdivision off Quartz Hill Road in May of 26.
Okay.
The city is building a subdivision.
Which is wrong.
Well, that's my thought.
Now, is it the way it was worded?
I talked to some people this morning, and no, this is they've got $22 million left over from the car fire. And they're using to do this. It was for fire mitigation. I don't know how they're justifying this.
Well, if you get rid of the brush, you don't have a forest fire.
Redding city planners are planning to a park-style community in the Car Fire burn scar, and it's affordable housing, so there's going to be... And then I was told, and this is secondhand, that... what's this Knox guy that's building...
Oh, K2.
K2's building it. It's not even put out to bid.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, they've gotten into bed with each other. This is an example of the 15-minute community. And, folks, if you don't know what the 15-minute community is, it's the liberal utopian hellhole dream of how they can build almost a city that everything can be done in 15 minutes.
And Sierra Pacific locks up the forest so you don't have any reason to leave anyway.
That's right. And so this, if the city is truly doing this, and it's going to be a planned community, air quotes, I'm air quoting, and the city's involved, first off, that is malfeasance. The city never does anything efficient or to cost.
Well, there will be
massive cost overruns. It will be anything but affordable because California cannot build affordable housing. Because if you and I wanted to go build a – I was just having this with a client the other day. If you and I were to go build a fourplex, for example, before the car fire, we were being told by contractors it's about $120 a door. So four doors would cost you around $400,000. Well, now they're saying per door it's around $200,000 to build a multi-unit property because of all the fees. That's not affordable housing. They need to get the government out of this mess. So I'm looking into that.
It's affordable for government employees.
And K2. They have very nice houses. I've seen them.
Well, you know, with all this stuff going on with Tenessa and her standing up to the other four and claiming that the finances are wrong at the city,
mm-hmm.
They had quite a little to do about that at the city council meeting. In fact, I planned on going to I will be going to the next one. And then I was going to get Tenessa back on, but I guess she's going with another show now. She proposed having an ad hoc committee because they're arguing that their numbers are good. She's arguing that their numbers aren't good. She suggested let's have an ad hoc committee and maybe get an Old Assured or a CPA to look at and find out who's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they don't want to do that. They want the people that made up these numbers to check them themselves.
Which is the absolute definition of corruption. I hid $200,000 here. I'll let you know if I hid $200,000 there.
I'll see if I can find it over here. Yeah. Or maybe I'll see if I can hide it a little bit better.
Well, and you know what's funny is Nick, you know, of the people, by the people, and for the people, our government so-called, the second that they put up that kind of resistance, you know they are lying. And Tenessa might be onto something.
Oh, but!
Because if they were being genuinely honest, if they were genuinely doing the right, they would have no, they'd say, look, here's the books. Look at them.
Let's go.
Tanessa's wrong. We're right. If they were being honest, they're trying to hide something. I promise you. That's just how it is.
Now, here's what was said, and Dr. Danuka said it.
Yep.
Let us do it this way, and when it's done, we'll consider an ad hoc committee.
That's wrong. That's completely wrong.
I'll bet they won't consider it because they're going to be satisfied with what's presented to them.
The people who've got their fingers in the pot are going to make sure that the numbers look good in the pot, and then Danuka and the crowd are going to sit there and go, oh, well, there's nothing to see here. It's of the people, for the people, and by the people. Let a third party, unbiased. The facts are the facts. It's like the election. Just let somebody come in and determine. And if Tanessa's wrong, egg on her face. If she's right, there's some accounting that we need to take care of.
Hey, Dave, could we get clip number three ready, please? There's no big hurry. We'll get to it. But, you know, I think Tanessa's right. And after she was on our show, I went to the city council meeting about a month ago, maybe it was 6 weeks ago, and suggested that New Palm, that's been closed since they started the cancer center down there, was closed because they didn't want to hassle with the traffic. And Barry Tippin said, no, that's not the deal. He said the main bridge was walked out, the walking bridge was washed out down there, and that they were pursuing grants to get it fixed, and they're going to get it open just as soon as they can. So about 4 days later, I emailed Barry. I said, who built that bridge and what it cost us? And Travis Mann emailed me back. Well, Barry wasn't exactly right. It was a different bridge, and the abutments around it washed out. And we've been working down there, and we're going to get it open as soon as we can. Well, Tanessa brought it up at the next meeting, and Barry said they were working on it. I forget exactly what it said. So after our show here, Tanessa and I went down there.
Yeah.
And the main walking bridge isn't washed out.
Oh.
There was access to it. If they wanted us to be able to use our New Palm space that we spent over $15 million taxpayer dollars on, it could have been opened up easily, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a full circuit, but I showed it to her, and she was right, and you know, it was open the next day.
Was it?
Yes. Not because of us. I think they finally got it to where they got the access and things done, but I don't believe Barry was being honest with us.
Well, based on the information that's coming out, I'm not sure Barry's being honest about a lot of stuff. I mean, a guy making almost $500,000 in gross compensation from our little city is he's got a lot to keep on to himself.
You know, I think, in my opinion, what the city should do is we should fire our manager right now. We should quit having a manager. We should have a mayor that's elected every 2 years.
Oh?
That's what we used to have.
Oh, really?
Many years ago. We elected a mayor. I remember. We elected a mayor, and then we started having a city manager. And then with Mike Warren, I don't know where Chris, the one before Warren came from, but the last three have been from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't working. It's clear to me it's not working.
Well, we're hiring people from out of liberal areas. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
So let's, let's elect us a mayor. In 2 years, it'd be just right, because if we don't like them, we can get rid of them, get another one in. I wouldn't want to be stuck with a Kristen Schrader for 2 years or a Missy MacArthur, for 4 years.
Yeah.
And there's numerous others. Speaking of which, at the city council meeting, when they were discussing Barry, whether you support Barry or not,
yeah.
In fact, it was kind of funny. I got there at 6, and they were still in closed session, and Barry's sitting out front. Now, Barry's always back there with closed session, and they come out a half hour later, and I would sure like to hear what was going on in there, because I imagine Tanessa and the other four were having a very good argument.
Well, you know, I'm not a fan of closed session anything. I don't think there's anything that the public dollars go for that should be top secret. I mean, I had this discussion, to get back to your story, but I had a discussion with my brother-in-law, because he has always worked in a government situation, writing grants, whatever, and now he actually works for the school. But for one group to get money, they have to steal it from another. And so I feel that our these closed sessions that the county does in negotiations with unions, or in this case, they should be in the public. That's public money. That's public interest. Why was that discussion not public so we can hear what's being said? Because, oh, yeah, they work for us, in my opinion.
Well, they don't think so. let's go to that clip. Are you ready, Dave? This is the answer to our problems, liberal's answer to our problems happening right now.
Thank you.
Robert, followed by Don Duckett, Dolores Lucero, and Benjamin Nguyen. Not seeing Robert. Come on up, Don.
And your clown.
That was me talking to Brad. This is the wrong one. Now, let's listen to this one. Go ahead.
The supervisors seems to have declined with your discourse among one another. And I just want to remind you that if you model good behavior and positive discourse, the two opposing groups in this room will probably do the same. You are leaders. You are setting the tone. And it riles up the crowd when you start fighting up there. You are paid to have opinions, but you're not paid to make each other feel foolish for having a differing opinion. Also, Dolores is correct about the donation of cameras. That does need to be ratified by the board. I believe the threshold is $2,500 last time I looked at the policy. And I will not be here for the next couple of meetings. I'll be traveling through Europe. I just want to say that I appreciate bringing back use of the opioid funds to do signing bonuses for psychiatrists. I think a retention bonus also would be appropriate use of those funds to keep people here, because it's not just attracting them, it's retaining them. And maybe look at the use of opioid funds to start a program to provide incentives for new providers in the community. Maybe give them a little bump when they open up a practice, and then after 3 years, give them a retention bump. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Dave, we're going to go right to number four when you get a chance. It's a city council meeting. That was a Shasta County meeting. So the answer is more money.
Always more money.
Let's get more money to them guys and get them in here. You know, what they call that, the CERTA team, where the city would send out two police officers. And they had two, and then they had to feather down to one, and Barry said it was because of finances, but he talked to Monique and told Monique they couldn't find another licensed one that wanted to go. So it wasn't finances, it was they couldn't find somebody to do it. Who wants to go to work with them nuts all the time anyway?
I think it's just mental challenge.
And then she's accusing the supervisors of dividing the community when it was the failed recall people that went on and on and on.
The liberals, for the record, the liberals and the left-leaning Republican set are the ones that have come in and screamed and disrupted. The what's his name, Nathan, Dolores, all of them have gone in there and disrupted. But that's the liberal playbook from Rules for Radicals. Go in and disrupt and blame the other side for what you're doing.
That's right.
And it's black and white written, guys. Read Rules for Radicals.
Okay, here's a clip that I really wanted to bring up, and this is has to do with the 1 cent sales tax. This is the city of Reading.
Current close proximity of cities around us and their sales tax in the North State. Chico, 925, Oroville, 925, Paradise, 875, Williams, 825, Orland, 825, Willows, 875, City of Susanville, 825, Anderson, 775, Winters, 825, and Marysville, 825. The average sales tax in the cities and counties in our state are at 8.85%. This city cannot sustain 7.25 any longer. Revenues are not rising, but inflation has over the past 8 years been excessive.
So my point is, these cities that are costing, have, take Chico with a 9.25. What's better in Chico that's not as good in Reading?
Well, they tried that homeless, small little thing encampment. That only blew up in their face for millions of dollars, and their creeks are completely overrun with trash, so that's better.
Yeah, so his idea is if we could just get more sales tax, everything's going to get better. The average is 8.85. Well, let's go for it. Let's make it 9%. Yeah. Let's make Reading 9%. Let's be first for something. And then he talks about inflation. Inflation helps us. If the prices are more, you're paying more sales tax.
Oh, theoretically, yes. Yes.
So there you go.
Well, you know.
That's a liberal thinking there.
That's a liberal thinking. You know, the more money you got to give to the public sector is the money that you take out of the private sector. And our government is a massive disaster from the federal down to the state. We are overtaxed. We have a bunch of bureaucrats who are convince themselves and half of our populace that if we just gave more money, the homeless problem would go away. If we just got more money, we'd magically have more cops. If we just had more money, that doesn't work. It's proven every time we get more money, the problem gets worse. We're growing.
I know what'd make the problem better if we just had more jail beds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't working 30 years ago. Well, I beg to differ. You know, another point that I thought was very strong at the city council meeting, Dolores got up and offered Tanessa her legal expertise to get the ball rolling on this and how to file lawsuits and everything.
Oh, well, that was very nice of her.
Now, isn't it, though? You know, I proposed something. I called up Aaron Ryan, and I proposed that Doug LaMalfa introduce a bill that there is no statute of limitations for congressional members for crimes they committed while they were in Congress.
That would be bad for a lot of people, like Barney Frank and Christopher Dodd. And
I'm all for making it retroactive, too. But what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's all but one, at least last time I saw, all but one member of Congress is a multimillionaire, all of them. And a lot of them were not millionaires when they went in, but they're millionaires on the way out. I mean, Pelosi started out with an average worth of somewhere around $300,000, and now she's worth $100 million. Weird. Totally weird how that happened.
You know, that one guy, he started hitchhiking on her trades. He'd put them up, and people were doing that. I wish I'd have caught on to that a long time ago.
No kidding.
I just want to follow Nancy's trades.
Yeah. Nancy the investor. You know, I would love to see these people tarred and feathered and stripped of all of their wealth. I don't think there should be a statute of limitations for their financial crimes of ill-gotten goods while they were in power, because it's becoming more evident by the day that most of Congress is corrupt. And it's funny, is one of the unforced errors that Donnie's making, and he's just being an absolute idiot. The one congressman he should be supporting and pushing forward is Thomas Massey. And they're spending huge amounts, massive amounts of money to get Thomas Massey kicked out of Congress. And that's Trump himself. And he's probably one of them, with maybe Rand Paul as the only other one that I would say is honest and actually has a fiscal idea of what's going on in our house. And so I think having a no statute of limitations for found misdeeds would be a good move, but they wouldn't do it because that would jeopardize themselves to pass such a thing, just like term limits.
Okay, here's something I found interesting. I was talking to a local businessman, and with inflation, his $100,000 worth of inventory was valued at $150,000, so the IRS sent him a bill, and he had to write a check for $18,000.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's not fair in my opinion.
No. Well, that's like old Biden wanted to tax unrealized gains, and fortunately that died.
Well, that's what this is.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and you let them have that. It's not going to be long till they're into real estate.
No.
And Tulsi Gabbard, heartless woman, took away 37 security clearances.
Best thing she ever did.
Oh, how's Hillary going to get by?
Well, I'm hoping that Bongino et al. Run with what she released about Obama and Russiagate, and all of those people are behind bars and worse. But I doubt anything will happen to any of them, unfortunately.
And I was reading about a gal that is having this guy prosecuted. He assaulted her. He slapped her on the buttocks.
Ah, don't.
Can you imagine? They're calling that assault.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In today's world, I can believe just looking at somebody can be called an assault. Well, Nick, we are down to the last 30 seconds, and just wanted to let you know it's been a good day, and we'll come back in 2 weeks and do it all again.
I wonder if it's going to rain.
I don't know.
Traditionally, it always rained on Labor Day and Memorial Day.
And Cool April Nights weekend, so there's a good chance for it.
That's right.
So we'll see you next time, guys.
Had a great time. Thank you. Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.